चाहने के लिए भविष्य स्तुपाद परमहंसोत्तरीमान स्वामी Savior of the world, Jagatguru, Srila Prabhupada, Jai Nitya Lila Bhavishnu Mishtapad, Paramahamsa Vivitikatara Stotada Sattva Sri Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, Panam Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Ananta Goti, Vaishnava Vindhiki, His son, Vibhiti, founder of Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki chai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki chai, Sankirtan Jagyati chai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nittai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Maharaj. Vananga Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta
Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Jaya
Vita
Chandra Jaya
Gaurabhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Jaya Vita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki Jaya is a bird. So it's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 14. We have a series of about 13 texts, 140 to 153, I believe. There's no purport, and it's highly esoteric subject matter, so we'll try our best. I'm not sure which one we should chant together. Maybe we can just we'll just go through it all. We'll just chant the Bengali in unison. Is it up there? So we'll start with text 140. Everybody ready? Prabhu kahi kaha vraje ramanera prakaram sarvapakai gopi mana nadi satadaram. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please tell me of the varieties of egoistic pride manifest in Vrindavan. Swarup Damodara replied, the pride of the gopis is like a river flowing with hundreds of tributaries. Text 141. Nayakara svabhava prema vrite bahu vedam se ibeda nana prakara manira vedam. The characteristics and modes of love are different in different women. Their jealous anger also takes on different varieties and qualities. Samya gopi karamana nayaya katanam ekadui vede kari dikdarasanam. Translation. It is not possible to give a complete statement about the different types of jealous anger manifest by the gopis. But a few principles may serve as an indication. Mani keha haya dira keha ta adira eitina bede keha haya dira dira. There are three types of women experiencing jealous anger: sober women, restless women, and women both restless and sober. Dira kante dure deki kare tatyutana nikate ashile kare asana pradana. When a sober heroine sees her hero approaching from a distance, she immediately stands up to receive him. When he comes near, she immediately offers him a place to sit. Ridaye kopa mukhe kahe madura vachanam priya alingite tare kare alinganam. The sober heroine conceals her anger within her heart and externally speaks sweet words. When her lover embraces her, she also returns his embrace. Sadalabhya bahara kare manera poshanam kimba soluta vakye kare priya nirashanam. What is that poshanam mean? Translation. The sober heroine is very simple in her behavior. She keeps her jealous anger within her heart, but with mild words and smiles, she refutes the advances of her lover. Text 147. Adiran Sura Vakye Kareye Vatsanam Karno Pale Tade Kare Malaya Vandanam. The restless heroine, however, sometimes chastises her lover with cruel words, sometimes pulls his ear, and sometimes binds him with a flower garment. Dira Dira Vakra Vakye Kare Upahasam Kabu Stuti Kabu Ninda Kabu Upahasam. The heroine, who is a combination of sobriety and restlessness, always jokes with equivocal words. She sometimes praises her lover, sometimes blasphemes him, and sometimes remains indifferent. 149. Mugda Madhya Pragada Tina Naikara Vedan Mugda Nahi Jani Manera Vaidagya Vibeda. Heroines may also be classified as captivated, intermediate, and impudent. The captivated heroine does not know very much about the cunning intricacies of jealous anger. 150. Mukha achadiyakare kevala utanam kantera priya vakya suni haya padasanam. The captivated heroine simply covers her face and goes on crying. When she hears sweet words from her lover, she is very satisfied. Madhya pragalba tare dira diveda tara madhya sabara svabhavetin nabeda. Both the intermediate and impudent heroines can be classified as sober, restless, and both sober and restless. All their characteristics can be further classified in three divisions. Keha prakara keha mridu keha hayasama svasva bhave krishnera badaya prema sima. Translation. Some of them are very talkative, some are mild, and some are equipoised. Each heroine, according to her own character, increases Sri Krishna's loving ecstasy. Is this the last one, 153? I think that's what we're supposed to go up. Prakarya Magdavya Samya Svabhavam Itosam Sei Sei Svabhavi Krishni Karaya Santosam. Although some of the gopis are talkative, some mild, and some equipoised, all of them are transcendental and faultless. They please Krishna by their unique characteristics. Yeah, I think that's the scope of it. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tajmai Shri Gurudvi Namaha. So esoteric subject matter, no purports. Here I go. See what happens today. So it's sort of introductory. Actually, the whole class is going to be all an introduction. That's about as far as I can get. In the way of a caveat, means a sort of a warning, let me read from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 34, entitled, interestingly enough, The Nectar of Devotion. In other words, Nectar of Devotion is a chapter in Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada states there, No one, while remaining on the material platform, should discuss these different descriptions of Baba and Anubhava by quoting different statements of transcendental literatures. Such manifestations are displays of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. One should simply try to understand that on the spiritual platform, there are many varieties of reciprocal love. Such loving exchanges should never be considered to be material. In the Mahabharata, Udyama Parva, it is warned that things which are inconceivable should not be subjected to arguments. Actually, the transactions of the spiritual world are inconceivable to us in our present state of life. Great liberated souls like Rupa Goswami and others have tried to give us some hints of the transcendental activities in the spiritual world, but on the whole, these transactions will remain inconceivable to us at the present moment. Understanding the exchanges of transcendental loving service with Krishna is possible only when one is actually in touch with the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. So when I had this assignment, I slightly, as we used to say, freaked out. I didn't know what I was going to do. Perhaps after reading, I was thinking that after reading the series of assigned verses, which you just did, the class lecture could consist of a meta-narrative, not pretending to analyze the details of the verses, but rather considering how we can get from here to there. What I would try to accomplish would be to work our way up from basic Bhagavad Gita understandings to some sense of dealings on the spiritual platform, all with the goal of accommodating this esoteric section. It is still a tough assignment, but I can fill the allotted time by, so to speak, backing up, slowing down, and trying to somehow connect the basics, quote-unquote, with what is revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his intimate associates in this section, especially Swarup Damodars. Also, I was, I won't go that way in this class, but I was also aware that from the modern mindset that some of these descriptions may seem a little politically incorrect. To follow this approach just mentioned, some observations might include. In other words, what we could do is we could try to go step by step, or if you will, an expansion from philosophy to Vedanta, to theism, to full-fledged theism, which will lead us naturally, or at least logically, to the Ishabasha, the God-centered spirit or conception, wherein one only acts to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord. Krishnarthe kila chestam. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, quoted at Srimad Bhagavatam 4.18.6. That's just the reference for the Sanskrit I just mentioned, which means one only acts to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Lord. And this is the context of the present section, really. And then to concentrated attention to Krishna and his feelings. How does he feel? Well, he has a great preference for love beyond what is termed Aishvarya Sitila Premi. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Sanskrit from there. 3.16. Which means love enfeebled by opulence. Enfeebled means vitiated, means weakened, undermined, you could say, or in any way compromised by a sense of opulence. So Krishna prefers, everybody's worshiping me, he says, in great awe and reverence. All the great religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, etc. They're all worshiping God.
Allah worshiping God is great.
And we don't disagree with that. God is so great. But the subjective aspect, in other words, how he actually feels and what he actually wants, we get a hint of that by the fact that it's not that he disdains or rejects people who approach him with a mood of awe and reverence, but personally he prefers when pure devotees, we can say confidential pure devotees, they are relieved and they are able to relate to him without the impediment of his godhood, of his awareness. Of course, we know how Yogamaya helps with that. His activities, qualities, associates, what he expects of us as well. Mad dharmatma manorati. All of one's love and affection should be devoted to pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a paraphrasing, a kind of a non-literal translation given in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.9 in purport. Just for your information, on a personal note, I'm getting these little terms from a glossary that I compiled over a period of 30 years. And I only ended up with a little over 1,000 terms. But I'm trying to take advantage of some of them. Of course, another approach, it's all introductory, right? Another approach to how to understand and try to say something about these very esoteric 13 verses that we've read would be a different progression, but that one kicks in only when the conditioned souls have arrived at the threshold of bhakti. And you all know that. Ado shada tata sadhu sangota bhajana kriya tato narta nabritisya tato nishta ruchistata ata shaktis tato bhavas tata prima danchati sada kanam ayam prima pratur bhave bhavet kramaha. That is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 1.4, first section, fourth chapter, text 15 and 16. Science of Devotional Service. And in the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization that will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instructions, the neophyte devotee, still neophyte, begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And if we had time, we could relate these terms to the Sanskrit. Like steadiness, I would say, would be nishta. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So by the slow process of devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachments, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality. That means, you know, free from impersonalism. And from the frustrations that result in void philosophy, then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Of course, the books of Srila Prabhupada, I finished that reading that. Of course, the books of Srila Prabhupada has mercifully bestowed on us, also figure as step-by-step platforms for elevation, with a CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, ranking as the postgraduate study. That's what we're trying to present now. Indeed, the very title, Chaitanya Charitamrita, denotes the character of the living force in immortality. That translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita is from its introduction, Srila Prabhupada gives. Now, this may be all very daunting for us. We have to be very advanced in order to enter into what's really going on in the text we're hearing today. But we shouldn't, in any way, we should count our blessings. Let's put it like that. The ultimate matchless gift, namely the unparalleled heights of spiritual reality revealed by Srila Prabhupada, who brought to us a comprehensive, let's try this again, the ultimate matchless gift, I would say, is the unparalleled heights of spiritual reality revealed by Srila Prabhupada. He brought to us a comprehensive English language elucidation of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, revelations extending even beyond those of the four standard Vaishnav Sampradayas, disciplic successions. Madhavendra Puri had first introduced the mellow of Shringara, or Madhurya Ras, the mellow of conjugal love. And in Lord Chaitanya's conversation with Ramananda Roy, that rasa was confirmed as the best and as the most inclusive. In his purport to Madhyam 8.88, Srila Prabhupada states, conjugal love, Madhurya Rasa, is also known as Shringara Rasa. It is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam that in the complete combination of loving service to the Lord, namely in conjugal love, the Supreme Lord fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. The highest form of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we can see that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani's influence. Although sometimes there are moments where he shows some independence, when he disappeared, he took her and then disappeared from her in the rasa dance, but usually this is the default mode. Later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his conversation with Raghupati Upadhyaya, a shorter exchange took place wherein the same conclusion was reached. In this dialogue, the Brahmana scholar answers questions by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by citing appropriate lines from the 82nd Patyavali verse compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. He then concludes his succinct, learned explanations by quoting the verse completely, which figures as Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 19.106. Nanda Raja Srinam, let me get it right. Vande Nanda Raja Srinam Padade Num Abhikshna Saha Yasham Hari Kathod Gitan Punati Bhuvana Trayam. I offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaj's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds. Thus he sums up the four topmost levels of place, form, age. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead a little bit. He then concludes. Okay, then he quotes this verse in okay, what I'm doing is I'm kind of putting two things together. One is the verse I just read is just to reassure us that the gopis are so pure that when they chant the glories of the Lord, their kirtan, kathod gitan, purifies all the three worlds. That's how pure their Krishna katha is, or their kirtan, their chanting. And then the verse specifically that I'm pointing to here is the Madhya Lila 19:106 verse. Is Shamameva Param Rupam Puri Madhu Puri Vara Vaya Kaisho Karam Deyam Adya Eva Paro Rasaha. The form of Shamashundara is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon, and the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. So this Raghupati Upadhyaya, he answered each question by quoting a part of this verse, and then he concluded his response to Lord Chaitanya's questions by quoting a whole verse in its entirety. And the Adya Eva Paro Rasaha, that this rasa being referred to is the first rasa, is the conjugal rasa, is the supreme mellow. Now we are warned often when devotees talk about one rasa being higher than the other, that that's on a very elevated level to make that distinction. We should be quite aware that every devotee in every rasa is very satisfied and is feeling that he's completely satisfied in that rasa. It is a fact, however, that the conjugal rasa is described as the most inclusive also, in that it includes all the other rasas. Krishna's leelas, especially his intimate pastimes in relation to his confidential devotees, and especially in the conjugal rasa, naturally strike most people in this world as, well, worldly. But the real test of the spiritual purity of any person or their activities and relationships is how these are perceived, not by us conditioned souls, speaking for myself and maybe most of us, still somewhat conditioned, but rather by the Mahajans, the self-satisfied Atmaramas. And it turns out that the Lord's pastimes with his confidential devotees, even up to Rasalila, are accepted by such pure souls as immaculate narrations, as equally pure as themselves. Atmaramas chamunayo nigranta ap yurukrame kurvantya hai tukim bhakti itam guno itam bhuta guno hari. This is an iconic verse, very much stressed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya famously gave many, many different understandings of the verse, going in the intricacies of each word in it. Translation, all different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. And of course, the Lord includes Advaya Gyan. He's none different from his pastimes, from his form, from his intimate associates. So that includes the emotions and the exchanges that we're hearing about today. And they're pure. Gopis, we heard, totally pure. Pastimes, totally pure. So much so that pure souls relish them. So we're hearing about emotions, pride, jealousy, anger, and even egoism, which all seem hardly spiritual from the material external point of view. But we get a strong hint of the status of such emotion, particularly on the part of the Vrindavan milkmaids, gopis, from Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, that's the verse I wanted to quote now, but I already quoted it. The one that, how the gopis purify the three worlds by their glorification of Krishna. So that's what you call pure. So pure that they can purify all the three worlds. So since, as Sri Uddhava declares, the kirtan, that was Uddhava speaking in that verse, As Sri Uddhava declares, the kirtan of the gopis can purify the three worlds, then they must be the most pure, never mind their conventional and merely apparent, what is in another place described as audacious transgression of morality. Now, it's kind of strange bedfellows here, because audacious, as some of you know, that audacious transgression of morality at Bhagavatam 10.3329 is referring to the Ishvaras, the Ishvaranam, very powerful controllers. That comes up when Maharaj Parikshit was requesting Sukadeva Goswami to explain how Krishna and the gopis as well would say, Krishna, the emblem of religion, the Supreme Lord, how we could do something that seems immoral, go in the woods in the dead of night and dance with young girls. Some of them even married. How can he do that? So then this quote, this verse is quoted. What is that? Vyatikrama, dharma vyatikrama drishtva, ishvaranam chasaham, tejiyashana doshaya, vane sarva bujo yata. Just as fire consumes everything placed into it, the status of very powerful controllers is not compromised, is not in any way diminished by their apparent audacious transgression of morality. So this is why Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate course. We have a gentleman here who's very, very new, and all I can ask him is try to be patient. And also, I'm trying to be patient. It's like a leap. We hear about bridge preaching. So many examples of bridge preaching, like interfaith dialogues often involve some bridge preaching. Each on both sides, they're trying. Sariputta Prabhu, we can call that bridge preaching. Talking about hard science, you know, modern science, and showing how there is some connection. This is controversial. Some devotees feel nervous about the style, but most devotees recognize it. In my own case, his preaching saved me. This bridge preaching, showing how there is quite, we don't have to completely jettison or throw away any kind of rational, scientific findings. There is a connection. Bridge preaching. So this is also the only way I can approach myself. I mean, some devotees have full knowledge. It's pretty hard to unpack statements which they themselves are fully, like completely, I won't say fully because there's always some more detail, but are so themselves unpacked statements. We're hearing about so many different varieties of women who, as they relate to their lover, and then it goes into such esoteric detail. It's like a whole system. And it's a little digression, but it's part of this bridge I'm trying to build here. That we have in psychology also delineations, and you know there are different details of different types of neuroses, different types of psychoses, and I once knew somebody very intimately who was analyzed as an ambulatory schizophrenic when he took an overdose of LSD. So there are many different, so we have that in the material world. So why not a transcendental delineation of psychology? More bridge preaching. We hear how the spiritual world is compared to a perverted, it's like an upside down banyan tree, or a perverted reflection of the material world. So we can say that in a general level, that you know there's, that we have in the spiritual world almost everything you'll find in the material world, including love, including even what may seem like in the material world, we hear that the most elevated item in the spiritual world corresponds to the most degraded item in the material. It's an upside down tree, you can see. So the top corresponds to the bottom. They also say the New Age, they kind of distorted the biblical statement that as on earth, so in heaven. Instead, we don't say heaven, we say spiritual world, the actual kingdom of God, Param Dhamma. So it's been tweaked by the New Age people, as above, so below. So we kind of agree with that, with both those statements, in the sense that what we have in the spiritual world, we also have in the material world, but New Age, often Mayavad, impersonal misunderstandings will take it that it's the same. And it becomes, they go towards pantheism and towards this idea that it's all one and this world is, I mean, spiritual world, it's all the same in every way. Because if one is very, 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 very advanced, he can actually have that realization. But for the 99.9999% of the rest of us, better we understand that although there are corresponding items, such as we're hearing egoism, jealousy, anger, and that could all analyze in so many categories, there's not only a world, but a realm of difference between the original and the distortion. So that the kind of emotions that we hear about, and all of us have seen in ourselves and in others, how these kind of emotions are negative. Yes, there was a movie I saw in the 1950s, believe it or not, called Lily. It was called Lily. And the theme song was, I won't sing it, it's too schmaltzy, but it's called The Song of Love is a Sad Song. Don't ask me how I know. So, okay, that also, there's a correspondence. There is a sort of pathos or sadness in the spiritual world, but we shouldn't misunderstand it that it's just negative depression, misery, verging towards sometimes suicide, and horrible feelings of total suffering and misery in this world. Have to take some pill to make you feel better, have to go to the shrink. No, in the spiritual world, it's all ecstasy. It's all totally ecstatic. Although the format of it corresponds to the very unfortunate feelings that occur in the material world. I'm reading this document. It says page 4 of 7, so I better try to move forward. So that the gopis' transgression of morality. And that strange bedfellows I mentioned is that it applies to the great powerful controllers, like beginning with Krishna, and even his servants like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva drinks an ocean of poison. He can handle it. So that, strangely enough, also applies to a very different kind of person, psychology or personality, namely to the gopis. They also audaciously transgressed morality by running in the dead of night to respond to Krishna's flute. So to sum up this point, or these points, the goddess of fortune, and particularly the gopis, were tasya prema vasyatva svabhava. It's another little nugget I took out of my glossary. If anybody would like the glossary, I'd be glad to share it. I just have to have the access program. It opens with access. It's a database. It's all alphabetized in different categories. Tasya prema vasyatva svabhava, which translates as being under the influence of Ladini Shakti and being controlled by love. That's from the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 9.11.16. Regarding the highly esoteric nature of this morning's Chaitanya Charitamrita section, how can all these all too familiar attitudes, like egoistic pride. Be pure and spiritual. We can continue our answer by recalling that the impersonalist or Advaitins tend to assume that the spiritual and material domains relate to one another as opposites. So we have to disembarrass ourselves if we still have any remnant of this misconception. On a real entry level, it might seem to apply, you know, spiritual, material, you know, spirit is eternal, material is temporary, spiritual is real, material is illusory. It seems like they're talking about opposites. But when you go higher in both directions and lower in the other direction, then you realize that it's not, the relation isn't one that everything is opposite, to continue. But impersonals, they obsess with that aspect. This stems from their ignorance of, or their non-acceptance of, spiritual variety, which compels them to uphold the following crippled notion. And I'm sort of like imagining how they would think, but I think it's more or less on target. Since the material world is full of variety, and all such names and forms are temporary and illusory, the spiritual plane must be devoid of form and of all variety, including personalities. So this is a classic example of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Because you want to clean the baby. You don't want to throw the baby away with the bathwater. You throw away the dirty bathwater, but you know the example. So how does that apply? You don't want to throw away all form and all personality and all emotion and all that, but you want to purify it. That's all. You're throwing away the dross and you're saving the essence. Spiritual world has all this variety, but not with the inebrieties of these aspects in the material world. But the real fact is different from what I just stated. As it was famously declared, okay, I already discussed that, as above, so below, that there is variety. There's, what is that called, vichitra? There is variety in the spiritual platform. And there's also variety in the material platform. One is pure and one is real, whereas the other is subject to reductionism. You can reduce the material variety down to the material elements. Although there is something somewhat irreducible about qualia, like the redness of red. That's a whole other discussion. The highest loving affairs in the spiritual world correspond to the lowest down here, in this Maya Jagat, and for that matter, here in the worst age, Kali Yuga. It should therefore not surprise us to hear about complex systems of spiritual emotions as delineated in today's Chaitanya Charitamrita passage. But such complexity is also prevalent in mundane psychology, which I mentioned this. Thick books get into such taxonomy, clinical descriptions of all kinds of emotions, usually in relation to mental illnesses, etc., etc., which we mentioned before. So here we have the perverted reflections, inferior material counterparts of the most sublime and elevated spiritual, we can say original, feelings of loving exchanges. On a parenthetical note, the time for a parenthetical note, try to be brief. I was reading this version of Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu by a gentleman by the name of David Haberman, who's Vaishnava. And he has a very long introduction about rasa. So I was thinking of that. Can that feed into what we're trying to understand today? The only point I'll mention in this regard is he gives a history of rasika drama in India several centuries leading up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's not confused by this because he's Vaishnava. He understands the transcendental status of these descriptions. But a mundaner may think that Srila Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis, got the idea of rasa from a dramatic tradition of this world. It's the other way around. Although in terms of chronology, it may seem like that history of drama and rasa inspired, you know, Srila Rupa Goswami and other Goswamis and Vaishnavacharyas to so elaborately delineate and describe and understand things in terms of these. That dramatic science also includes detail about how the actors and the audience interacts. So it gets very, very deep, actually. And we can see that it goes beyond. I think the background to today's verses is the Hera Panchama festival. And it's a drama. They do a drama. I think there's this one drama where Lord Chaitanya plays the goddess of fortune, believe it or not. They only had men actors in those days. Sometimes men would dress up as women for the sake of the drama. So, anyway, parenthetical note. One final note, would it be? Although Queen Kunti gives the example of an actor talking about this idea of drama, playing a role in a drama and remaining unrecognized. Maya janavikach janam agyad hokshatu maavyayam. Alakshase mudadrisha nato natyo darayata. Just as an actor playing some role is not recognized by the audience of his actual identity. Similarly, being covered by the curtain of Maya janavi kach janam, the people in this world, foolish, conditioned souls, they don't recognize you. Abhijananti mamuda anusini. And this is the status of the emotions revealed to us this morning. That, in other words, but even Kunti Deva, okay, she recognizes that although it's like an actor playing a role, we shouldn't misunderstand that Krishna is just saying, okay, I'm going to put on an act so my mother is pleased and she thinks that I'm her little boy. And it's not like Mother Yasoda thinks, well, I'll serve Krishna by pretending to be his mother. No. They both, by the mercy of Yoga Maya, both Krishna and Mother Yasoda are doing more than just playing a role. Yes, sometimes an actor will start identifying with a role and actually feeling it and going a little crazy. As a really good actor, he actually starts to feel that he is Hamlet or whatever the role may be. So now Queen Kunti, although she uses that example like an actor on a stage, is not, but it's not an artifice. It's not acting, like deliberately acting like that. And the proof of that is that verse where Queen Kunti recognizes that Krishna is actually feeling fear from the whipping stick in the hand of his mother. He's feared by fear personified. Mam vamohayati birapiyad bhaveti. He's feared by fear personified, but he himself actually feels fear. So it's an act, but it's not an act. It's the real deal, actually. And yet he's God. The dramas, and also these dramas, besides being real in that sense, but they're also eternal. Of course, if they're real, they should be eternal. And this is the status of the emotions revealed to us this morning in these verses. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, and of course Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And how would we get any of their mercy if it weren't for Srila Prabhupada? To sum up real quick, I'll just read 5 points. This will be very brief, so just about up to time. Today's section is very advanced, quite a challenge for most of us to get a handle on. Two. So we tried to approach the subject matter by reviewing the process of advancement towards pure devotional service. Three. In other words, that process of advance, it gives us more of an, at least an inkling what's going on here, and a philosophical understanding. 3, spiritual life, spiritual reality is emphatically not merely the opposite of material phenomena, even though it is reflected in this world impurely in a distorted manner, like the trick mirrors in the funhouse. 4, this is a summary of what we were trying to present. The different feelings of different heroines described here in this section are wholly and solely meant for Krishna's pleasure. Despite their descriptions as egoistic and prideful or angry, they are not what they seem to be to mundaners or even to neophyte Vaishnavas. 5, let us rejoice in the difficulty, in the ultra-esoteric nature of these leelas. In other words, count up, we should rejoice that we're sometimes overwhelmed by this rarefied atmosphere, this very esoteric descriptions that we get. For they indicate our great good fortune to be part of the Gaudiya school. Never mind many of us are just about making the nursery school or kindergarten levels in this school. We are totally blessed to be in the curriculum of this wondrous tradition. Hare Krishna. It's exactly 9:00. Perfectly on time. I can't believe it. So at this point, if anyone leaves, there's no offense at all. Do your pranams and go out, take prasad and do what you have to do. But if anybody has any question, I'm at your service. Back to David.
Great class. So my question is, we were talking about emotions this morning and different classifications of emotions. And how are we expected to relate to those emotions if we've never experienced them ourselves in this life, right? So we can't remember our past lives. But if we lead proper lives, we shouldn't experience jealousy and those kinds of possessive emotions. So how can we transcend that and get to a moment where the language isn't just dry words on a page, relate to it, but can you make a bridge, as you were talking before, between our mundane existence and the emotions we pass through in these relationships, whether we're having our ears tugged or we're the one tugging the ear? How are we supposed to relate to this text? How do we make a bridge to it from our own experience?
Yeah, again, I mean, it's just a big model, really. I mean, it's trying to present the idea of the perverted reflection, the upside-down banyan tree, all these analogies that we get, that there is a correspondence between even sex. Sometimes we hear, you know, it sounds too abrupt, too shocking to say that there's sex in the spiritual world. But there is spiritual sex life. In fact, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purport to the first verse, Janmadasya, Srila Prabhupada says the impersonalists are actually indirectly encouraging illicit sex life because they deny that there's spiritual sex. Now that, again, the real tricky part is not to project our conceptions of lusty affairs of this world with the sublime conjugal exchanges that occur on the spiritual platform. At the same time, they are there. Now, how to go from here to there? Well, part of it is to have at least an intellectual, philosophical understanding that you're saying, well, we've never experienced that. Well, the problem is we've experienced it too much, but in its down position, not in its upside down position, in its perverted reflection. And it's true that we may not remember or we may never have experienced these exalted emotions, even in our satsvarup or siddha deha, we may not experience them because it may not be our thing spiritually. We may have a different rasa with Krishna, but we shouldn't resent or in any way doubt that... see, the problem is the higher and higher you go in the spiritual, it's corresponding to the lower and lower and lower material. So there's the challenge, is to have the patience, the faith, and to hear submissively from Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami these descriptions, Swarup Damodar, Lord Chaitanya, presented by Srila Prabhupada, that there is a correspondence, there is a pure level of all these emotions. That's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate course, because we're just being plunged into, we're diving into or being thrown into the deep waters of how it is in a very, very top level. And how you're just a simple thing of parakiya rasa, that having illicit conjugal affair with one's paramour outside of religious wedded relationship. That's the highest in the spiritual dimension, because it intensifies, it's more dramatic and intensifies the emotion. Radha and Krishna, they have to worry, are they going to be found out? And they have to do things in a more clever way to connect with each other. Sometimes tricks are played. And the whole thing is more dramatic, more intense, we can say. More intense. Or the feeling of separation in the real world is the downer. In the spiritual world, it's also, there's a pathos to it, but it's also increased intensity of ecstasy and of prema. So that's all I could say. Someone, is that all right for now?
Sure.
Anything else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once. Going twice. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Prashadam time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, take all payment of the day.